The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
What? Did I not microphone it up? I apologize. I did a whole great intro and it's gone. Never to be heard from. All right. What I was saying, it's Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. With you till 6 o'clock. We're on the FM, booming at 93.7. We're on the AM, just super booming. We're on the 680 The Fan mobile app, booming it up there as well. And your in-home smart speaker. A lot of ways to boom with us. The 4 o'clock hour of the show, presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows. Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. Charles Oliver sitting to my left, and he looks wonderful today. We'll share a college football today. He calls it a CFT in 5 minutes. What can we look forward to?
Bama needs coordinators. Up next, I'll go with a bunch of rumors.
I like that. It's the best tease you've ever given. Rumor mongering, I'm here for all
wild
of it.
Stuff that I can't back up at all.
I just think that's great. More of that is what we need.
Finally, you've learned, young man.
Just love it. I'm very proud of you. I really am. So there are all kinds of numbers being thrown around about what the Falcons will have under the salary cap. I saw $56 million, and then when Marcus Mariota's option gets declined, it'll be $68 million, and then if they don't bring back Casey Hayward, it'll be $73 million. So they're going to be just bathing in money. But Chuck says you better get the most out of it because it's going to be gone quick.
Yeah, and there is a little bit of variable here based on, and at this point, like two or three guys' contracts is about it. But if the Falcons have $80 million-ish, about $20 million is sprouting wings, absolutely, and it really does not exist. What I'm talking about is, and that's a guesstimate, because Atlanta, depending on Hayward and a couple other guys, Matt, Atlanta currently has probably 39 players under contract for the next season.
Right.
Per league rules, the team will have at least 51 players under contract, and you will sign the draft class. So you're not done. You're not close to done. If we're thinking, let's say, like three impact contracts to sign, just now the contracts, you can look at it and go, yep, that's an impact contract just on the dollar figures. They are potential impact players on how they perform, but if you say, let's sign three of these guys and the draft picks, and you're not only signing 51 players, the team also has to sign, by my best estimation, about eight Lorenzo Carters, okay? Matt, he was $2.5 million. One will be more expensive, maybe like $4 million, think like Casey Hayward. And then a few like in the Rashawn Evans bucket, which is a little cheaper. Point is, there are these big impact free agents we talk about him signing. And we forget that the draft class has to be accounted for, but then you have to populate the rest of the damn active roster. You get to about $20 million pretty quickly on just filling out the roster with replacement players. So for Casey Hayward, for instance, you're right. It's a net of, is it about $4.5 million?
It's $5 million if you don't bring him back.
Okay, $5 million. You do have to then sign a corner to play that position. So you get to $20 million pretty quickly and the draft picks and almost certainly a couple or a few million in bonuses or salary. Like Bryan Edwards got broke off a little bit in the offseason, like $1.5 million. Didn't play. Not really. And then there's maybe an extension for Terrell and Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry. And oh, by the way, he waited until they didn't activate the fifth year to actually go out and have a best season. This money is going to disappear pretty quickly. It's going to get spoken for, I'll say.
The sticker shock is going to be eye-opening to Atlanta fans because we haven't played the free agency game in a little bit. And tomorrow I'm going to probably go into a little bit more on the sticker shock itself. But here's the thing. You can play so many cap games. They'll be able to sign if they want three or four big ticket items, depending on how they sort of manipulate the cap. Now, you have to be careful because the last thing you want to do is get yourself back into cap jail by doing too much of that. But what I mean is, let's say they do something with Terrell, or they do something with McGarry, for instance, or they do something with any of their guys that they want to re-sign. And they can backload that stuff to open up more money now. That's always a possibility. Again, I would advise against it because now you start, you know, working the credit card system.
You start working the opposite of the position that you sort of dumb-mucked your way into with the Deshaun thing.
But at the same time, let's remember what Arthur Blank, for all the good and bad, there's a mixed bag on Arthur Blank's ownership with the Falcons. The one positive you can always say about Arthur is they will spend every dollar they're allowed to spend. So one thing that he has always done is as much. There are some owners who won't do
that. Oh, yeah.
There are some owners that will spend and then they'll stop spending.
Arthur, that was Tampa. Remember back in the day, they had to be told there's also a salary floor. You have to spend like 85% of the cap.
So I'm not worried. Listen, that's a ton of money they have. You're right. It'll go quick. Here's the other thing I like about what the last 2 years has done for Terry Fontenot. His first 2 years as a GM, he had to put the puzzle together to fill out a roster without any money. And I say that, you know, kind of with some hyperbole to it, but he had to sign a bunch of Lorenzo Carter, Cordarrelle Patterson, start Eric Harris and like all these guys. And they managed to piece it together.
Guys without a lot of options.
They managed to piece it together and go 7-10 both years with a largely, you know, below average talent level. We'll put it that way. It'll be nice about it. So I'm bullish on their ability to go sign guys. Doesn't mean they'll get it right. I mean, that's the one thing we got to wait and see.
That's why I said there will be like three guys that will get impact contracts. I don't know if their production will be impact, but we think, all right, three big-time free agents. And I'm like, you need to think of those three guys not totaling anywhere near $80 million. Those three contracts need to be a total in about the $50 million range.
And then again, how you structure it. Like I was looking, and I'm going to get into this more tomorrow. So I was looking at some of the bigger 2022 free agent contracts, and you'll see the big numbers. And we remind you every year, a lot of those numbers aren't real. The numbers you have to concern yourself with are the guaranteed dollars. But then the structure and how that manifests itself, that matters. I'll give you an example, and again, more on this specifically tomorrow. But the Raiders signed Max Crosby to a new deal. $94 million over 4 years. 2022 salary averaged $16.8 million. But his salary was actually $6.6 million in year one because the way they structured the deal, the way they played it out. That turns out to be a lot of these situations. So signing big-name free agents won't be a problem for them. The question becomes, who are they going to sign, how many do they want, and which positions are they going to go after? Only the Bears have more money than they have to spend. So I don't worry about that. I worry about more getting it right than signing. There will be a press conference this year with three jerseys held up. Big names, whatever you consider a big name. Big name corner, big name defensive lineman, big name OL, whatever. They'll have three of those. You just hope it's not Tyson Jackson and you know, Paul Soliai.
Again, what we talked about this past offseason, they won a bunch of games, got to the playoffs, actually won a game. Jacksonville's three impact guys were Scherf, Kirk, and Foyer.
And they hit the jackpot with Evan Engram. That was not a bunch of attention grabbing. So there's that too. That because you have a little more money, you can take some chances on some guys. I think they also signed Zay Jones, who turned out to be a nice piece for them.
But the big ticket guys were big ticket contracts for pretty good players.
They were, and that's free agency, though. That's what I'm saying. The day we open up free agency, we're going to be on this show at whatever 4 o'clock, and there are going to be people going, oh, my God, you paid that guy that much. That's free agency, folks. It's sticker shock. You're overpaying for stuff you don't have. It's just the way that it's like buying a home when there's not a great market. You're going to overpay because the inventory is down. That's what's going to happen. And I just hope, again, people don't lose their minds. And I don't care if they do, fans are allowed to do that stuff. But we haven't done this in a while. When's the last time the Falcons were in on free agency like this?
Use Ron Duffy to get part of the buyer's agent's commission after closing.
Do you think Fontenot will do that? Is there a chance he turns?
About a week and a half later.
Yeah, maybe he'll turn to the Duffys to see if he can get a better idea.
Just saying,
you're right, Chuck. I didn't think that was an opportunity.
You were talking about the house as an example.
Yeah, I see what you did there. I want to remind you the Podcast Park is available for all of your football and just entertainment needs. If you can't get enough of 680 The Fan and you want more options, whether it's football options like an off-season pod from The Perch, a Falcons podcast with Michael Rothstein, you've got that. You got Bucks Beat with Georgia legend Buck Blue, focusing on the big names and big stories around the Dogs and the Braves, the Chuck Oliver Show, the Southern Beat with Dan Matthews. All of those and more are available wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, you name it, they're there.
Off his back foot, caught, touchdown!
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta, because money matters.
Good to beat it, King.
DuffyRealtyATL.com. As I said, buyer's agent, you get a cut of the commission. After closing, open the mailbox. Hey, look, money. It's tremendous. DuffyRealtyATL.com. Bama needs coordinators. Let's go with a bunch of wild rumors. There was one issue with that. There's one problem with running with a bunch of wild rumors. And it's not that we're not willing to discuss them. Big issue for Nick Saban. He needs two coordinators. There are no wild rumors. Like, Todd Grantham is supposed to be a wild rumor, isn't it? Yeah, it's not. Jeremy Pruitt. Tennessee was facing 18 level one violations, okay? Jeremy Pruitt is supposed to be a wild rumor. He's not. When you're interviewing a one-year OC at from UW, who, by the way, if you watched Michael Penix last year, and I'm sure you did, that kid was Pac-12 offensive, not the Heisman Trophy winner. He was just an amazing, amazing quarterback for UW up there. And so you go to the OC and say, well, who do we give credit to? All right, him. When you go to the University of Washington offensive coordinator, okay, that may be a little bit of a, not even a pink flag or an attention getter, but you kind of notice a little bit. What about when the University of Washington offensive coordinator turns you down or says, he was there. This was not a, well, we never really, no, he was there Sunday. He was there, interviewed. It happened. They were in the room together. And he's staying at University of Washington. Now, I don't know if he was told, look, an offer's not coming. How do you want to announce this? But I got news for you. Alabama is not usually in the business of making somebody else's coordinator have a soft landing at the expense of their program. So there's professional courtesy and all. But one of the issues is right now, all these names that are supposed to be wild rumors, they're not.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta on the College Football Voice of the South, 680 The Fan.
If indeed Todd Grantham ends up as the DC with Nick Saban, that'll tell me he's lost his fastball. That will be the official jumping of the shark. If you ever doubted and wondered when a guy loses, if you go Todd Grantham, that's just Nick Saban going, he coached with me at some point at Michigan State, and there's not much else out there. Give me Grantham. He's lost his fastball.
You're supposed to, honestly, you're supposed to treat Georgia like I'm here for Glenn Schumann.
Of course. And Schumann was there at one point. Or you're supposed to find the next Glenn Schumann, or whoever's Glenn Schumann.
Whoever.
Not Todd Grantham. Not even Jeremy Pruitt. But at least Pruitt, the recruiting acumen, the Grantham thing, I've never understood. All right, are you sitting down? I've got news for you.
Hang on.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're still sitting.
I'm sitting down, yeah.
The NBA today announced, and this from NBA Communications, the launch of the Throw It Down with Bill Walton alternate game telecast that will be hosted by NBA legend broadcaster Bill Walton.
This is alternately titled Get High with Bill.
This will stream exclusively on the NBA League Pass.
It'll stream everywhere.
With the new NBA app.
It'll be available everywhere.
This is where it's all going, right? We're going to have more alternate broadcast, so that way we can combo the numbers together in a lot of these cases and tell you the number was better than it was and give you another reason to have NBA Pass. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But their answer to McAfee in college, or the Peyton Eli Manning cast, is Walton. The Walton on Walton with Bill Walton or alternate game stream.
So over the course of a three-hour broadcast, blaze his way through a half ounce of Ghost Train Haze.
I would say this. If it's not the NBA game I'm watching that I care about, like to listen to Bill just, you know, do Bill stuff, that might be okay. I hope they have a nice group around him, because I don't think you want Bill just sitting there by himself. That might get a little uncomfortable. You need a nice...
Maybe, not to Bill.
Maybe bring in Luke. Bring his son in. I don't know. Maybe you do it like the Mannings. I'm trying to come up with something. But Walton on Walton with Bill Walton. You're welcome. Something for everybody out there to look forward to. Coming up next, if I told you there is still one free agent available that could put the Braves over the top, but he comes with a very creepy catch, would you be interested? You'll get to answer that question next. Breaking news to talk about coming from the NFL in just a moment with Chuck and Chernoff on The Fan. Thanks so much for hanging with us. We're with you till 6, the official visit to follow all the recruiting and transfer portal talk you can handle with Chris Moynihan. Doug Conkle, it'll be a mega cast of sorts coming up this evening. We should get Walton on our mega cast. That's the next thing we have to do around here. Speaking of around here, you look out the window around here and you see it's gray and it's depressing and it's rainy. I want you to picture sunshine. temps in the 80s, and spring training baseball. Atlanta Sports Trips can make those dreams a reality if you join us for our Bravo spring training trip. And we have a big announcement around that next week here on the station. So stick around for that.
Second t-shirt?
Bigger announcement than that. We're going to be staying at the Wyndham Clearwater Beach right there. Toes in the sand, a beautiful resort for 3 days. We'll get you to Braves Pirates with transfers from the hotel to the ballpark and back, with a couple of other surprises to add along the way. We are down to just a couple of rooms, and you can grab yours before they're gone with a $99 deposit by booking at atlsportstrips.com. That's atlsportstrips.com. Coming up in 5 minutes, Scary Terry and Coach Arthur are facing a similar question with both free agency and the draft, and there should be only one right answer. We'll talk about that coming up in 5 minutes. But first, I'm going to play you a piece of a sound, as they say in the business, Charles, from Brian Snitker. I don't know if you guys caught this, because there is still one stud baseball free agent out there that I think the Braves or anybody else right now could sign on the cheap, and he could put any team over the top with his talent. Is that somebody that Braves fans would be interested in hearing about?
Sounds like it would be a nice addition, yes.
Would Brian Snitker be interested in this free agent? Take a listen to the question and the answer.
Yeah, Mr. Snitker, do you think the Braves would ever look at a pitcher like Trevor Bauer?
No.
No. I hope you guys heard that clearly. Snit off mic before the mic could even be handed to him. Snit was a part of this hot stove meeting at Dale Murphy's restaurant over the weekend, where fans had a chance to ask questions of Snit and Dale Murphy and other Braves. Before the microphone could make its way from Dave O'Brien to Snit, he answered the question of, would you be interested in Trevor Bauer with a no. Not a, you know, every case is different. Let's wait and see. Everybody deserves a second chance. The answer quickly on Trevor Bauer was no. Clear, concise, and to the point, which means he's on the same page with Alex Anthopoulos when it comes to Trevor Bauer. Now, remember, Trevor was suspended for violating Major League Baseball's sexual assault policy, and it's some pretty gruesome stuff from women who had accounts that I will not give you specifics here. You can go find it in a number of places on the internet, but it's...
I found that first girl who was at the emergency room. I looked at some of those pictures and I'd have him gone back.
Yeah, it's very...
That's enough. I'm good.
Their accounts, again, you can go find it. It's pretty ugly. Remember, he had...
his ass off, man.
He got the longest suspension any player has ever had, outside of, you know, former player or a guy who's, you know, shoeless Joe Jackson. He got the longest suspension anybody has ever gotten around baseball. So then you ask the question, well, if not the Braves, it only takes one team to give Bauer a second chance. He's so damn talented. Is that the Mets? Is that the Yankees? Is that the Phillies? Well, Marlins former president, David Sampson, was on the Dan Le Batard show, and he was asked the question of whether or not some team will give Trevor Bauer another shot.
Trevor Bauer was suspended an unprecedented number of games. Trevor Bauer, a really unusual story and unusual person. Tell me what you think is happening there, and will he ever play again?
Yeah, he will not ever play again. Let me start at the end. He will not pitch another inning in Major League Baseball, because no matter how desperate teams are, the way we look at it is, what are we going to say publicly when we sign him? What is the press conference going to look like? What is going to be our point of view, that we want to win, or that we have some injuries, or we want depth in our starting rotation? So here comes this person, Trevor Bauer, who has not been contrite, who has been fighting the entire time, saying that it was totally consensual. He was not suspended for violations of domestic violence. He was suspended for violations of the sexual assault policy.
All right, so there was David Sampson again, former president of the Florida Marlins, not pulling any punches, says he will never get another chance. Now, I'm not going to be that, I think, confident in it, because we've seen in sports so many times, time and desperation, I won't say heals, but it allows teams to think we can bring somebody in and explain away whatever the transgression might have been at that point. So to me, it takes one of these 30 desperate GMs at some point to say, we'll be the team to give him a shot. I think Sampson has a lot more experience in this area than I do, but my experience in sports is there's always a second chance for about 99% of people. It just won't be here.
Last time he pitched a full season, he won a Cy Young Award.
He's a stud. There's no...
And he actually kind of works to his, from the physical standpoint, let's evaluate the player. The fact that he hasn't pitched, actually, like Gerrit Cole has pitched, and Ben Justin Verlander pitched and pitched and pitched and pitched. Trevor Bauer hadn't. All right, that's the pitching on the mound part. He's got that figured out and has since he was first-round pick. second chances, it doesn't have to be with me.
Well, that's what I've always said. I'm one who believes in second chances. I just don't have to be the one to give you this case, this situation, a second chance. And if you're the Braves, you heard Snit. I don't know if conversations have been had, not discussing whether they would have Bauer, but it sounded like they were like, we're all on the same page. No, we wouldn't have Trevor Bauer. And if they were being honest, they probably wouldn't have Ozuna from the Braves around if he wasn't already under contract and they could move him. Probably it's a different scenario, but I believe the take would be the same. The difference is they already paid him and they're stuck with him. Now, the Dodgers just cut Bauer and ate the money or whatever they was on the they were on the hook for. Is,
most recently, when Trevor Bauer was available, see, Trevor Bauer is available now. Most recently when he was available, a world championship organization declared him to be worth $31.5 million per season. Mm-hmm. That was what the Dodgers most recently said. And by the way, they said 31.5 because somebody else said 31.
And by the way, they could use him this year for the talent, and they weren't going to do it.
Yeah, they already had him. They didn't have to justify bringing him in. They were like, well, he's already here.
You saw the or heard the round of applause from Snit's answer. There was no hemming or hawing. Nope. That's not in our future.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
News breaking out of the NFL over the last several minutes from Adam Schefter. The Saints and Broncos are finalizing compensation in return for Super Bowl winning head coach Sean Payton. Sources tell ESPN this will clear the path for Payton to sign with the Broncos to become their next head coach. Which this shocks me for a couple of reasons. I thought Payton for sure would have picked somewhere where he had a quarterback, but this is an ego play. I guarantee that he says I can fix Russell. And he might be right. He might. I wouldn't
whatever
bet on
can,
it.
Whatever you can get from Russell at this point, sure. And so maybe that's part of ownership saying let's go all in, because Denver still had a first round draft pick. They had the 30th overall pick.
Point is.
So they had something to trade.
But you don't do this unless you think you can fix Russell, because you're going to have to give up compensation. And you're going to be stuck around the salary cap because you're paying so much. They're stuck with Russell for five more years with all the guaranteed money. So, like I said, Payton might be right. This is an ego play that he thinks he can fix what everybody else is says is broken. And then if he does it, he gets to say, see, I told you.
I don't know this. I don't know what his wallet looks like personally. I don't know what he's already still promised from I don't know anything about his money. Is there any chance it's just a cash grab?
I mean,
I want $9 million a year, and
here's why I'd say
Walmart
no.
said yes.
Here's why I'd say no on that. Two reasons. I think that guy hates for people to think he's not the smartest guy around.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's say for Fox this year he was making, I'm just guessing, they were paying him $1 million. I don't know. No idea. But the TV money's been inflated. He was making $1 million. He makes another $1 million next year, and he goes through the job carousel next season when more jobs open up. So I don't think it's the money. So in other words, whoever he was going to go to was going to pay him ridiculous amounts of money. I said what I think this is. Nothing else makes sense. You don't go to Russell Wilson unless you think you're the guy that can fix him. Why would you go somewhere that will be down draft picks, that has an overinflated, high-priced quarterback who looks like he's on the backside of his career?
And is he going to be even more in Dutch with draft picks because of acquiring you? I mean, the Saints, now you can say whatever you want. I heard realistic compensation could be a second-round pick. All right, where in the second round? That's huge.
And a third.
But I've also heard that the Saints would insist, no, we want a first-round pick. Well, Denver, despite all the crap they're in, like, am I right about this? I think they have the 30th overall pick.
I don't know that.
They acquired that from San Francisco. Okay. The compensation details are in.
So what do we have?
Saints will get pick 30 in the 2023
Damn.
Draft. And the 2024 Denver second-round pick.
F.
In return, Denver gets the rights of Sean Payton and their third-round pick that's from the Saints in the 2023 draft.
Payton better be the smartest guy around.
Ari Miravolf tweeted out, the Denver Broncos ended up trading 3 first-round picks, 3 second-round picks, plus additional assets to get Russell Wilson and Sean Payton.
Oy vey.
It's all said and done.
All right, the Walton family. Wait till we hear what he makes. He will be the highest paid coach. I bet. I mean, might be
10 or 11 or 12.
I was going to say might be double digits.
Maybe it's a cash grab.
I mean, it might be.
But hang on, that's a bad job. Chuck, what I'm telling you is a cash grab.
I don't think he wants to be miserable though for the next several. Like John Gruden got paid $10 million a year, right? That was the number from the Raiders. So I'm guessing that's where we're starting with Sean Payton. I mean, I don't know his money situation. I'd be hard pressed to believe he didn't have a bunch of money already.
But $11 million a year then?
So put it this way. Let's say next season the Rams job opens. Just give them. They paid him $11 million too. Like, I don't think the Waltons are special. I think anybody at this point to get Sean Payton is going to pay double-digit millions.
I don't know. Like I said, it's just another factor. Because I'm trying to explain it because you're correct in everything you're saying because they're even more screwed on the picks now that they've acquired him. My point is, well, we got to explain it somehow. You know what explains a hell of a lot in life? Money.
Of course. He's going to have to sit with Russell, though, for 3, 4, 5 years if he can't play and just suffer through that.
Maybe the new ownership said, damn it, in a dime, in a dollar. We backed ourselves. We painted ourselves into this position with Russell. Here we go. Let's do the best thing possible. And you're right about that. If there's anybody who can lay hands on a veteran quarterback who's damaged goods and maybe eke out another season, but Russell looked like done to me.
One more piece of breaking news from Schefter. Former 49er defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans is the new head coach of the Houston Texans. Signed a 6-year deal. Per sources, so they have their new head coach. Everybody's fallen in love, and with good reason, with what D'Amico Ryans has done. So,
you know, second-round pick of them way back in the day? Is that
maybe.
Right? Second round?
Maybe. But now he walks into the mess that is Houston, trying to figure out, a lot like Atlanta, like, who's my quarterback? What are we going to do to build around it? It's been a comedy of errors.
But suddenly
for the
they have picks.
They do. They do have, with the Deshaun trade, they have some picks to work with. Coming up in 5 minutes, we're just 12 days away from finding out if one of our coworkers, our former coworkers, was indeed the curse of Atlanta sports. We will get official word on that in less than 2 weeks. Before we talk about that, though, Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot are both facing a similar question as free agency in the draft approaches.
Yeah, and there really should only be right answers, as in, I don't really care which path you use. Just let me know it was intentional and not reactionary. Matthew, I say whether it is free agency or the draft picks, like the bunch of the draft picks and the bunch of free agent dollars, the question is the same regarding fixing this roster. In short, it's like 2 game records or 7 solid pieces, at least by projection. Now, who knows how it actually turns out? But I think what I want to see is choosing a philosophy from the outset. Now, what I mean is not, I said dumb luck earlier. That's probably strong, but it's probably not strong. They dumb lucked into the Deshaun going to Cleveland and them having to bail on the Matt Ryan thing. It forced their hand early on the quarterback. It got them a second round pick for an asset who right now would not garner a second. So we see, and it saved them all the money. It fast forwarded all of this, an advantage on draft picks and free agent dollars, because they didn't get Deshaun Watson, which is what they were trying to do. So again, however they wound up with this pile of picks and pile of free agent dollars, I want to see more of an intent than necessarily I saw in how it turned out with Matt Ryan. The draft is an op, Matt, to stay at 8 or maybe dance with Seattle or Pittsburgh, my choices, and accumulate at least 2 more picks in the top 50. And I like a lot of the players projected from about 20 to 35-ish. Miles Murphy is sort of an 8 sort of player. Jahmyr Gibbs might be sort of a 23, 24, 25 player. But I'm just projecting who I could get multiple picks from. But whether it is free agency, so we always talk about it in that scenario, and we did earlier today. Break off 2 or 3 studs and then just fill in the gaps best you can. Same thing. Do you stay at 8? Do you say, you know what, I need to spread it around a little bit more? They're all right answers. They should be right answers, but I'm saying regardless of what they do, I don't care what they answer. I want to see that there was some sort of intent and not just dumb luck reaction and, hey, look how it turned out for us.
I think you could look at the Eagles and Chiefs as, well, they're in the Super Bowl, but as the barometer of, like, look how they've both been built, right? There's a good mix. The Eagles spent some money and signed some free agents, but they've also killed it in the draft. Chiefs, we talked about earlier. They've done a good job on the margins with their roster. taking your cast-offs. Yeah, we'll take your Jerick McKinnon, your Juju Smith-Schuster, your Kadarius Toney. But we'll also draft McDuffie and Pacheco. And, like, they go up and down their draft board, and they've gotten stuff from almost everybody. I'll take you back to a time for a three-year window when the Falcons constructed the 2016 and 2017 version of the Falcons. 2014, here are the answers, the right answers. Jake Matthews, Devontae Freeman, Ricardo Allen. And the thing about Freeman and Allen, you got that in the fourth and fifth round. 2015, Beasley, Jalen Collins, Tevin Coleman, Grady Jarrett. You got Jarrett in the fifth. You got Tevin in the third. Collins was actually a player when he could stay on the field in the second, but he couldn't stay on the field. And then we know Beasley had the pop year that came in the Super Bowl year. And then the 2016 draft, which was, that is the best draft class in Falcon history. Keanu started. Deion started. Hooper started. Devondre started. Add that to those prior 2 years, and as much as we want to talk about free agency, and we will, that's where this all happens. You can fill in the gaps, and the Falcons did. They filled in a very expensive gap on Alex Mack. They made him the highest-paid center in football. They paid a very handsome sum to Mohamed Sanu.
Boy, Kincaid thought that he took that personally somehow, like it was his money.
The Sanu,
but there was going to be a Sanu tax every 30 days.
But Sanu really fit with what they wanted. He's going to be a third down,
hell, physical. You know,
go get the important catches. But the point is, they paid, but then they made a trade for an offensive lineman and Andy Levitre right before the season started. But go look at those 3 years of draft, and you went cheap at running back with Coleman and with Devontae Freeman, right? You were cheap at tight end. And it started with Jacob Tammy, don't forget. And he gets hurt, and here comes Austin Hooper. You were cheap at linebacker with Deion, cheap at safety with Keanu. You were cheap with Vic Beasley. You had all these young guys, Grady, who were all impact players. And the expensive Alex Mack and the expensive Mohamed Sanu and the other expensive pieces, it fit nicely.
And part of that is just taking up roster spots. I mean, you have to populate your roster. So Toi Lolo was a mid-round pick one of those years, too, like a fourth or a fifth, maybe?
It was a year before that. Toi Lolo was 2013.
Okay, and so a mid-round pick again, a guy who populated the roster.
Mm-hmm. You need those. And you get really lucky and or good scouting, and you get a undrafted free agent who becomes your starting nickel in the Super Bowl year. That stuff has to happen.
Devondre Campbell? A hell of a tough ball player. And
that's
you got
a fourth
him for
round
like a
pick.
Fourth round pick, and he started.
You got fourth round Devondre, fifth round Grady, undrafted Brian Poole. Like, I mean, they did all that stuff, and it worked for those years. Yep. Just not sustainable.
I just want to see intent. I want to see an idea here, not just, oh, well, like, we got a second round pick. Well, let's just shove all the money and suck this year. Okay.
You brought up a name there in the middle of your diatribe as I was talking about Mohamed Sanu. The
diatribe
name was,
wasn't really, but yeah.
It was a bit of a diatribe. It had that tone. Mm. You brought up John Kincaid. For you new listeners to the radio station,
gray-haired gentleman, lives in Philadelphia.
He used to do radio here in Atlanta. And I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but we've joked that ever since John left, a lot of good has happened to this city and this state when it comes to sports. Maybe it's coincidence. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But the Braves won a World Series. We had a parade. Georgia won back-to-back championships. There were two parades and two rallies and two championship rings in Athens. That's since John has left. Now, things haven't gone awful in Philadelphia. Like, since old Kincaid, the Yankee, has been back there in Philly, they went to a World Series with the Phillies. I don't know that he cares anything about the MLS Cup, but Philadelphia Union played in the MLS Cup. And now his beloved Philadelphia Eagles are in the Super Bowl, which is good. But you know how John Kincaid is built, right? Without a championship, nothing else matters, and it doesn't mean a hill of beans that you made a World Series run or a Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. If two people gather together after a season when you didn't win a title and you call it a parade, you celebrated and you didn't even win. He took that personally.
Here's the deal. If they lose, or should I say when they lose to the Chiefs in 12 days, we will know 100% officially he is the curse. And he brought his curse with him in his Yankee ways up to Philadelphia. That you could get to the dance, but you couldn't win the dance. We've wondered, we've thought about it, we've kind of debated it, but it will be 100% official when Patrick Mahomes holds up Lombardi and the Philadelphia Eagles are walking off the field. That old Jack Kincaid, he was the curse around here, and he took it with him up north.
He's a cooler.
No doubt. He's a mush. I didn't want the Eagles to make the Super Bowl, but because they have, now we can go through the experiment.
Yeah, and I like John on a personal level. I will say
he's
kind of a miserable Yankee.
Small doses.
But it would not surprise me, given his demeanor, that, he took that with him.
Which, it's perfect. I mean, it really, really is perfect. I mean, look at that 76er basketball team. They never get out of the second round, right? Joel Embiid and all this money and blah. Can't get out of the second round. Kincaid, it follows him. I don't know what it is. The Hawks for a million years before John left couldn't get out of the second round.
He's making the World Series, but they lost the World Series.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Okay.
He used to get on the Braves.
Kincaid said it did. You're right.
Yeah, Braves only won one title.
You're right.
Like I said, the Hawks never got out of the second round with old Jack Kincaid here. First minute he leaves, they went to the Eastern Finals. You think that's coincidence? I think not. It's like a Time Life book. If you don't believe me, it's in the book. Read it.
Read the book.
Read the book. So just as you're watching the Super Bowl and all rooting for Kansas City in 12 days, no old man Kincaid up there in Philly took the curse with him. And here's the funny thing, Chuck. The Eagles won a Super Bowl while he was down here, so he couldn't ruin them. That's the other part of it. He couldn't. Had he left before the Falcons Super Bowl, we would have won that game. Had he gone up to Philly before the Eagles Super Bowl, they would have lost that game. Philly special would have never happened. It would have been New England special. I believe that.
He's bad karma.
Yeah, by major bad karma. Hi, John. All right, coming up next, there's a question starting to get asked at a low-level murmur, and it looks like a situation for Peter King. Ooh, a Peter King theory to discuss next. Chuck and Chernoff with you on the FAN, streaming worldwide over that 680 The Fan mobile app. Chuck, if you want to tune into the Business of Sports segment each week on The Fan, you can. Well, everybody can. It's all presented by Southern Company. If it's impacting business in Atlanta and the local sports scene, we've got it covered. That's the Business of Sports presented by Southern Company, building the future of energy for all the customers and communities they're privileged to serve. So this Braves TV play-by-play gig, the word is things are heating up, and our old friend Tom Hart, one of the two or three finalists, according to Dave O'Brien and Mark Bowman.
Well, the plot thinnens. Tom Hart's going to get the job.
How obnoxious
is that
would it
right?
be? I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. Like, I could text Ingram or Hart just to get answers, but I don't want to bother them in the middle of this. They're, you know, big timers.
I'll go ahead and text them.
Bowman tweeted, Hart remains a top finalist to replace Chip Carey in the booth. Sounds like Ben Ingram will remain in his preferred role on the radio side.
Whose preferred role?
And Bowman writes, Ben is as good as it gets on radio. That was nice.
No, read that again. Ben will remain in his preferred role. Preferred according to who?
It says, I'm sure Bowman has talked to Ingram, right? He just doesn't throw this stuff out there. That's a journalist.
Journalist.
What do you mean? What do you think? Bowman's just throwing stuff?
I don't know. Like, preferred? Like, do the Braves say, no, we prefer Ben Stanley on radio.
Bowman's not a shill, so he does the work.
Yeah, no, he's
no, reaching. No, I'm saying preferred based on who?
I said his preferred role. His, assuming Ben. What do you want from me?
Chuck won't be joining ESPN's SEC coverage. He'll stay in his preferred role afternoon with Matt Chernoff.
ESPN doesn't want you.
His preferred role.
Yeah,
well, no, it's my preferred role, Matt.
Let's be clear. They already got fined, Bob.
And host of the regionally syndicated Chuck Oliver.
That's exactly right. You're good with that role.
Do you not realize that's not quite the compliment you mean it to be?
O'Brien has the same thing.
50-plus stations, let's go.
O'Brien has the same thing. Hart is among two or three finalists to replace Chip.
Well, text Tom.
I did.
What did he say back?
He hasn't answered. All I wrote was, finalist? Question mark?
Does it say delivered, or is it in green?
I'm not on red.
Oh.
So, and then I followed it up with, I'm sorry, top finalist.
Wait a minute. What, you're not on red?
Well, no, I'm saying he hasn't read it. If he has, you know, if you put your text on red, you don't be left on red.
Well, I don't know about that. Mine just says delivered.
So, yeah. Well, if you hit send, it was delivered. I mean.
Really? Hang on. I thought that.
It's not delivered, it lets you know it has not been.
Right.
I don't know. Mine just says delivered. Like, all of them say delivered.
Do they? Then you're fine. You're good.
I don't know.
You're great.
Is there a setting, BJ?
Yeah.
To what?
Like, so
it's called read receipts.
That's what I'm saying. But you don't want to be left on red there.
I don't know if I have.
That's why anybody who has, why would you let people know if you've read their text? Like, what is the win in that
one? It's a status.
It's the mental win of knowing that
you left me on
red. You know that I read it and I'm not responding to you.
That's it.
Makes
you a jerk.
Yeah. No, that's the whole thing is, like, especially if you're trying to be petty, it's to let them know I'm being petty.
Yeah, but in my case,
I am.
Okay, but I wouldn't be petty. In my case, I just forget sometimes.
No, that happens. It's inadvertent.
And then somebody goes, Matt left me on red, and I forget.
One time left management on red, and management kept responding to me, I know you have read this.
Do you know what's worse than that? I know you read it is the hello. Like, when somebody doesn't answer and you write back, hello, two or three times, as if you're going to hear it this
Becky
time.
Becky does that to you, too?
She does that a lot. If I don't answer right away, I get a hello.
Do I need to say the words? Do I need to verbally slap you in the face? I'm ignoring you. Or I have something better I'm doing. There's something I have deemed more important than returning your text.
How about I'm doing a radio show?
Thank you.
I mean, I'll get back to you on what we're going to have for dinner at a break.
Oi.
Understand, right? I left her on red.
Like, we need to bring back, like, aim away messages. Remember that? Like, that's what needs to be there. Like, if it's on Do Not Disturb, it just lets you know, like, doing a radio show.
Days gone by, Dan Matthews. Days gone by. All right. So there's a question starting to get asked, according to Oliver, at a low-level murmur. And a murmur is a very wonderful word, very underutilized murmur. Where's the murmur coming from?
This has been you and I over the last probably 2 or 3 weeks. You would say something about UGA hoops. They're a little better than I was expecting. And you would say something about the team. And then after they beat, I remember after Auburn, I watched that game. I was like, yeah, Mike White. And you said something about did a good job finding Mike White. And I said, why did they have to find Mike White?
Well, he didn't have to look very far. He was at Florida.
Yeah, I don't even follow college basketball anywhere close to it. I knew Mike White. I was like, he's at Florida. He's doing a really good job down there. Ding, red flags going off. I realized I just jumped headlong into the Peter King pool.
Okay.
I'm the guy in Atlanta who says I don't follow college basketball nearly as much as I used to, but I just gave you Mike White. He's doing really good down there. Then why was he available? Then why could a program like Georgia, and that's fair, a program like Crean and Fox were awful hires. Dennis Felton, terrible. They've been wandering the desert for 20 years. And I was like, well, why do they even have to find him? Mike White, he was right down there and having success in Florida. And I was like, wait a minute. I just went Peter King. So I texted two people who either they got informed opinions. All right. And the first one, people who know things about Florida more than anybody else, but maybe they don't know programs outside of Gainesville. Asked about Mike White. I said, is this a miniature coup for Georgia, a find, or are you going to say, nah, watch him every game for about 2 seasons, and like we say all the time? First response, Matt, he's much better at doing what he is doing now, which is grinding at a place with low expectations, than trying to follow the best coach a school ever had 2 seasons after that coach had the team in the Final Four. I was like, all right, that's fair. Second response, and this one was kind of funny. Is it a coup? Probably not. But he's going to coach and recruit well enough, get UGA to the tourney a little more frequently than Fox, and he's a likable guy. Couldn't break through consistently at a place where, after Billy, the expectations are higher than that. To deal with the smoking crater Crean left, that's a very good hire.
I think you got your answer, though. It was the E word.
Expectations.
It's all about the eye of the beholder. They were Billy Donovan.
Yep. And now, the greatest school at a place where they'd already been to national championship games.
Let me read you White's resume, and you tell me as a Georgia fan, if this is the next 7 years of White, just like it was the 7 years at Florida, 4 NCAA tournament appearances, 4 20-win seasons, 2 19-win seasons. Tell me what Georgia fans, they'd erect a statue for.
They got to 16 1 year, didn't they?
Maybe.
In the NCAA. They won a couple of games. It wasn't like, when was the last time we won a tournament game? No, they had success down there, which is why I was like, what do you mean they had to find Mike White? He was right there winning and being successful. People in games were like,
But they've also had two, now nothing touched Billy, but they also had a good run with Lon, good enough.
Yeah.
But the Billy Donovan thing took them to a place of like, nobody's going to be able to reach that level of expectation. And if you're the guy that follows him, you're going to look at this resume and go, 20 wins. NCAA tournaments. We expect that at Florida, which is fair of them to say. But
in Athens, after what you just experienced?
Right now they're 14-7 and 4-4 in the SEC.
They got a couple good wins, too.
Good enough, right?
Yeah.
But what I would say is, right now, that level of expectation is so, like, way down by my foot that 14-7 and 4-4, you're like, okay, we're alive.
If you're watching on YouTube, Matt put his hand down near his ankle.
I just did the thing the NBA player gets now a technical for calling you too small. But at Georgia, 14-7, 4-4. Let's say this season finishes for Georgia with 19 wins. They go to the NIT.
High cotton.
People will go, fun year. Next season, White brings in a couple of recruits. They win 22 games. They're an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. Georgia fans are loving life. The next year, they win 24 games and they're a 6 seed. You think he's the second coming of, is there a second? Hugh Durham.
And he did all of this without the number one recruit in America.
Correct. So the expectation is the only thing that changes Mike White. Because I, like you, heard the same thing that when White... Now, fans are typically going to do this when you lose your coach to a rival. You'll go, good, you can have him, that type of thing. But a lot of Florida fans were like, hey, wasn't getting the job done to our expectation.
But even the criticisms, both of them said, he'll grind, he'll get you players.
Yeah, that's
okay,
fine.
Hell, grind and get me players.
I don't know if you know this, Georgia has a few players. It's always been my biggest... complain about everything that's going on with Georgia and Georgia Tech is there are so many players in this state and in this city.
Look at that guy from Norcross who's playing in Virginia.
They're everywhere.
Yep.
And when, you know, like I said, Georgia's having a nice year. when Kennesaw State is the best opportunity to go to the tournament, it remains the same thing that we went through when Georgia State was the best chance to go to the tournament. For Georgia and Mike White, I think they have to feel some momentum. And if they're able to gig Florida along the way because of it.
Yes, absolutely.
Makes it a fun little
always,
bonus.
Always, whether it's business, sports, whatever, always take care of your personal business. If you can poke the rival in the eye at the exact same time.
Nice bonus.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Coming up next, it sounds like a high school kid knows more about the Monks' future at Georgia than anybody else. Plus, the voice of the Braves over the last generation says goodbye for good. About to get very sad up in here. We'll let you hear it next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you? 3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.